With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
2 days remain until the big hurrah, until the main event. Good afternoon, everybody. A good Tuesday afternoon, April 23rd, 2024, for the Southside Beat, as we are at 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, right here on DK Pittsburgh Sports. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Christen. Chris, let's run through it one more time, shall we? Thing happens on Thursday.
I think people might be getting a little tired of mock drafts, but heck with it. Let's do one more. Get it done. Let's just see. Let's do everything we can to. So last time, and Corey and I even had a conversation about this. We got to change the.
I'll change it. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, here, I got it right here.
Okay.
So we, you know, last time, obviously, I did this, you know, we had, I intentionally went with, you know, cornerback, well, because Cooper DeJean was on the board. And so I went with cornerback in the first round and we kind of saw the scenario of how that would play out. I think this time, what we're really going to do is we're really going to try, to really emulate Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, what decisions they will try to make.
Yep.
This won't be okay. Let's see what scenarios we have. Let's actually try to draft for the Steelers here. And that necessarily won't be easy because we obviously don't have all of the intel, but we do have some things that we can, that we can take from what they said yesterday. For example, I brought it up yesterday saying if they made a board of 20 players, it doesn't sound like they're going to trade down.
Right.
So what we need to do is we need to, I would, like I said, I would probably go top 10, just let the top 10 go. And then at that point, it's like, okay, let's go one by one really quick and let's see what trade up scenarios they are. Because I do believe a trade up is way more likely than a trade down based off of what was said yesterday.
Yep. All right, here's how it's going to work. Three-round mock draft. Draft for needs slider. These are all the default sliders.
Yep.
On Pro Football Focus's mock draft simulator. So that means the board is going to skew more towards the public and what the mock drafts are saying. Less care for quote-unquote positional value and more care for needs, which I think is important. And it's going to be a little less random on that. So, you know, you're not going to see the Rams take, you know, the best wide receiver available because, you know, they still have Cooper Kupp and, you know, have an amazing receiving corps. So without further ado, Steelers at 20. We have that selected. Let's roll into it. Let's roll into it. We're going to roll into it slowly, of course. I think the first several picks are going to be noted. So Caleb Williams to the Bears first. Yep. Pretty predictable. Drake May to the Commanders second, also predictable. J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan, third. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State, goes fourth. Malik Nabers goes fifth, the wide receiver out of LSU. Jaden Daniels to the Giants at pick six. So pretty standard protocol here with the first six picks. Let's keep it rolling here. Tennessee at seven will be Roma Dunsey out of Washington. Interesting. Dallas Turner is eighth. Joe Alt, wow, that would be nice if Chicago landed with that haul right there. Caleb Williams and Joe Alt, quarterback and left tackle of the future. All right, let's see what the Jets do at 10, and then we'll pause for a little bit more. Here, there's Fatano, the Washington tackle guard, offensive lineman at 10.
And this is where we should really put up a disclaimer here and say, now I'm not saying that Fatano can't go at 10th overall, but you know, there was a report that Fatano, there were some medical concerns about a knee. I don't know how significant that is. Again, you know, when we talk about medical concerns, those are very, very broad. You know, we have to kind of remember the context whenever we hear stuff like this. This could be a report of maybe this was one team's medical testing on him and they weren't comfortable with the knee, but then other teams may, who may be a little bit more hush hush about it, they might not be saying anything. And so it's just interesting because based off of that, when you hear stuff like that, if he goes 10th overall, either that means the Jets are not concerned about that at all, should this, you know, scenario actually play out. But based off of that, it would not surprise me if Fatano falls a little bit more. But obviously, we can only go off of what a mock draft simulator is going to do. So, let's go. Let's see what the Vikings do at 11 real quick.
Yeah, Vikings at 11 are going to go with Brock Bowers out of Georgia, tight end, which I wouldn't expect the Steelers to be in on him in particular.
Okay, so right now we've got two tackles that, in my opinion, actually three tackles that are trade-up worthy. That would be Fashanu, Fuaga, and Latham.
Yep.
That's my opinion in terms of trade-up worthy tackles. Now, Marius Mims, not a trade-up tackle. I'm not trading out of 20 to get him or trading up from 20 to get him. There's too much work to be done there. There's too much uncertainty to give away assets to try to get him. So right now we don't have to worry necessarily too much about, hey, we got to trade up and go. We have to trade up to 12 and get and grab one of these guys. But we do have to look out for the Raiders. The Raiders could possibly take one. The Saints could possibly take one.
Yep.
The Colts, maybe not so much, but still could.
Yep.
And then obviously the major teams here, like again, trying to go at this from the Steelers' perspective, but also try to paint some realistic things here. Raiders are in the market for a tackle, possibly. Saints are possibly in the market for a tackle. The Bengals definitely are.
Yep.
So when we start, if we can get to possibly about 15 and two of those guys, or maybe even all three of those guys are still there, maybe it's worth starting to at least see what it would take. So let's let the Broncos pick real quick and see what happens.
12th pick. Let's see what Denver does. Denver selects Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
Not too surprising.
Yeah.
I didn't expect Denver to take a tackle. So, all right, let's see what the Raiders do, because again, if they take one of the tackles that the Steelers like, it's not the end of the world because there's still two other ones.
And there's Terrion Arnold to the Raiders, cornerback.
So we still have, I mean, it's now 14th overall, and we still have three tackles that would do, that would be a significant addition to the Steelers offensive line.
Right.
And yes, really quick, because I am seeing just a couple of comments about, you know, wide receiver is the greatest need right now. Center is a big need. Yes, I'm not disagreeing with those things, but we really are trying to go off of what the Steelers are doing, and they are prioritizing tackle. They just are. And none of the center prospects right now are worth trading up for. Like, none of them are. Not Graham Barton, not Jackson Powers Johnson. No. We're not. And Mark asks, we can stand Pat, right? Yes, we can. But again, if we're trying to, Omar Khan, you know, he's now, granted, he's still one draft, so it's hard to say what his tendencies are based off of one draft.
Right.
But the one draft he's done, he traded up to go get somebody that they really liked. And so he's done it once. You'd think he might be willing to do it again, especially in a tackle class this deep. So
I think the spot to do it would be 15. Not having to force New Orleans's hand, so to speak. And I don't think the Saints would trade out of here anyway if they were in this situation either.
No, I don't think that. And again, there in this particular instance, there are three tackles still remaining that are trade up worthy.
Yep.
So I right now, yeah, definitely let the Saints pick.
Let's roll New Orleans. What are they going to do here? New Orleans goes with Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. So
there's one of the three. So now, and really, Fashanu is a left tackle. So I don't necessarily see the biggest fit there. Not saying that if he somehow in some alternate universe fell all the way to 20, the Steelers would be like, nah, no, thank you.
Right.
They would figure something out.
Right. So I kind of want. All right, I'm putting my Omar Khan hat on here. Because we're 15 with the Colts, and currently J.C. Latham and Tali Fuaga are on the board. Now, Fuaga is a really, really important name here.
Yes.
And if neither of those two were on the board here, I would probably say stay at 20. Mm-hmm. Or if only one of them were on the board here, I might even say stay at 20. But since both of them are on the board, maybe it would it behoove the Steelers to get a little aggressive here? To try to trade up to 15 here with Indianapolis.
I think this, especially in this particular instance, and again, you know, we can pause here and try to provide context on everything, especially based off of what Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin said.
Right.
Now, one thing we possibly could have done before we did this is try to build. This is just too much work to go into a podcast, but we could have tried to actually build a top 20 board for the Steelers.
Right.
Because that is what the Steelers have done. They have built the top 20 players in the draft. Now, ask specifically about that. Is that the top 20 players that you want, or is that the 20 best players in the draft? And Mike Tomlin said the 20 best players.
Yeah.
So that means Caleb Williams is on that list. That means JJ McCarthy, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. All of those guys are on that list.
Right.
And if you listened to or watched Matt Williamson's Scout's Eye, where he built a big board, that's essentially the same thing that he did.
Right.
Now, he went to 28 players. The Steelers went to 20. Now, again, that's why I'm thinking trade down is not an actual option here for the Steelers. So I think there are two guys left that are worth trading up for. And I don't even think it's guaranteed that the Colts take a tackle. So I say let the Colts go and pick. Then, give your feedback for sure.
Well, what I was going to say was, would it be wise to jump Cincinnati and the Rams in that case?
Get
up between 15 and 17.
Yes. Yeah. To me, this is the sweet spot right here. If I'm looking at the Steelers possibly trading up, it's this 15 to 17 range. You have to get in front of the Bengals.
Yeah.
The Bengals are very, very much in the market for a tackle. You have to get in front of the Bengals. And here's another thing that also plays into why the Steelers might need to trade up. I have heard, and I'm inclined to believe, that there is another team. I'm really not at liberty to say, but there's another team that's picking shortly after the Steelers. Now that kind of narrows it down.
Yeah.
So that's picking shortly after the Steelers that is trying different scenarios to trade up into the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because the Steelers are looking at a tackle that they might want.
Right.
So the Steelers might have to counter those things. It's not even talking about getting in front of the teams that are in front of them, but also staying in front of the teams that are behind them that want to leapfrog them.
Yep.
So I'd say let the Colts pick here because we still got two tackles that we like.
Okay. So 15th overall pick, and the Colts take Fuaga. A little bit of a surprise. So there's perhaps the guy that we were targeting, that we were thinking about here.
Right.
J.C. Latham and Amarius Mims are still there. But now, you know, if this is the guy that the Steelers are prioritizing, at pick 15, if he's still there, knowing that Olu Fashanu just went.
Yeah.
And a team, you know, whether that's the Bengals or the Rams, or if you say one of these teams back here, like the Dolphins or the Cowboys or the Packers, if they're so inclined now that they see, Fatanu's gone, Alt's gone, now Fashanu's gone, this pick 15 here become so important within that trade, within that what's the word I'm looking for? Auction, if you will, for the Colts. Mm-hmm. Like, you could literally put this pickup for auction, not Fuaga specifically, but number 15.
Right.
And say, hey, Steelers, Bengals, Dolphins, Cowboys, Packers, what do you got? And the Colts can sit here, you know, if they're truly looking for a wide receiver or DB, knowing that Mitchell and Arnold are gone, maybe they like McKinstry, or maybe they like Cooper DeJean or somebody like that.
Or Brian Thomas or any of the other top, or Adonai Mitchell, any of the top guys
then,
at those positions. And the thing is that those are guys who would all be available at 20.
But that's the sweet spot right there.
Yeah, again, this 15 to 17 range, and this is where, again, Omar Khan and all those guys have way more intel than we do. They might have a really good idea of what the Colts want to do at 15.
Right.
And shoot, they might have already talked to the Colts about a potential trade up.
Yep.
Now, I understand that didn't happen last year when it came to Broderick Jones. That apparently came together essentially right at the last minute.
Right.
He said just a few minutes before the Patriots went on the clock, pretty much. But yeah, here I'd say let's try to actually trade up. Okay. Stop it.
No, I'll pause.
Yeah.
To 16. All right.
Yeah, let's try to trade up to 16 and let's include that 98th pick to see if that possibly gets it done. Okay.
92% chance to be accepted. Okay.
Hold on.
Yep.
See now what else we can take get. The 98th off of there and see if the 119 can get it done.
67% chance.
Offer it up.
Okay, let's see what they say. We are...
You hit the wrong thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's okay. They took
you have to hit. Yeah, you have to hit offer trade. Thankfully, that did not blow up in our face.
My bad. So let's do this, okay?
We definitely have to get in front of the Bengals, though.
Okay, so here it is right here. 119 and 20 for 17.
And hit offer trade for sure.
Do we see if we can snag 153 out of it? Why not? Offer trade. They took it.
Okay.
So we acquired another pick in the process to move up three spots.
Yep. And we still have the four picks in the first three rounds.
Yep.
So I'd say JC Latham. That's the guy that
right
that
here
we're looking at here. Right tackle, another SEC guy. You're talking about bookends here. I mean, yeah, you can pull up his page there on Pro Football Focus.
Good pass blocker.
Yes.
Like, really, I mean, good pass blocker. Doesn't allow many sacks.
Honestly, one of my favorite tackles in the draft, to be completely honest. If I'm personally ranking tackles for the Steelers, Joe Alt's number one. Fashanu's probably number two, but then number three would be Fuaga, and then maybe number four would be Latham.
Yeah.
Now that might be my like top four. So
this is who we traded up to get.
Yeah.
This is who we traded up to get. This is, in my opinion, almost a carbon copy of what they did for Broderick Jones last year, where they prioritized Broderick so highly that they felt the need to jump up as many spots as they did last year. Now,
Stephen A., I'm just going to reinforce this. They are prioritizing tackle 100%. I know that for a fact. That is not guessing. That's not hype. That's not conjecture on my part. That is the priority in the first round. Not saying that, hey, if they don't take a tackle in the first round, Chris, you don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what all happens, what all plays out. We don't know what their board looks like. But when they're telling their offensive line coach, you have to scout right tackles when you go to pro days, tell me what the priority is.
Yep. And when they send Isaac Williams all around creation to scout, that's what they're looking for. This is the player we traded up for. Now, hindsight, Fuaga at 15, if he's available there. All right. Would you rather have Fuaga and maybe give up a little bit more to get to 15? Or would you rather have Latham at 17 and keep a little bit more?
I would rather have Latham or Latham and keep him and keep the four picks in the first three rounds.
All right. We're making the pick 17th overall, JC Latham, right tackle, Alabama. That's who we traded up to get. Cincinnati goes with Byron Murphy at 18. The Rams get Laiatu Latu at 19, which is fabulous for them.
Yeah.
20, Nate Wiggins. So that would have been the player Jacksonville would have targeted here at 17. So in my opinion, it's kind of a win-win here. Steelers get their guy. Jacksonville still gets their guy. Because that's a priority.
I think Jacksonville, and when we talk about the actual night of the draft, I think that the Jaguars are a potential team to really trade with. And that's because I think they're possibly in the running for Cooper DeJean.
Sure.
And
I'm going to let this roll while you're
talking. Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely let it go through the end of the first round for sure. Yep. Ooh, because there's
at 23. Wow.
Wow. Cause there's one spot in the first part of the second round that I want to try to see if there's a possibility if we can trade up.
Okay.
As long as we're not giving up too much, but sure. The first round is the main, again, anything after the first round really is a crapshoot when it comes to guessing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because, okay, after the Panthers pick, pause it.
Okay, there's Amarius Mims at 33.
Wow, Mims fell all the way. Okay, scroll back up. I didn't see who all I didn't see who all was taken. Was Jackson Powers Johnson taken yet?
Jackson Powers Johnson's still on the board.
Okay, I would assume Graham Barton's gone. Yeah,
Graham Barton went at 21, but Jackson Powers Johnson is still on the board. So is Zach Frazier, for that matter.
Okay. Ooh, that's interesting, because this right here, I actually saw PFF's mock draft, and they had the Steelers trade up to this spot to get Zach Frazier.
Yep.
That to me is interesting. I wanted to see if we could possibly do the same thing.
Okay. With New England here.
Yeah, but I don't want to. But again, if it's a situation in which I don't want to give away, I want to try to keep those four picks in the first three rounds. At this point, this is more Corey and I. The first round was more us really trying to emulate Omar Khan and the Steelers.
What about Arizona? What about Arizona here at 35?
But Arizona is in the running for a center, though. That's the problem. You probably have to give it. Yeah, you probably have to give away 98 if you're going to do that. I don't want to give away 84.
35 for 51 and 98. Maybe we can get 104. Nope, can't get 104. Can't get 138.
Since both Powers Johnson and Frazier are both on the board, let the Patriots and Cardinals both pick. Because I don't think the Patriots are going to take one. And even if the Cardinals do take one.
Still have another there. Ladd McConkey to the Patriots, wide receiver. Ennis Rakestraw, cornerback to the Cardinals. Okay.
Okay.
Many, many needs for Washington at 36.
Let the simulator go until one of either Frazier or Powers Johnson are gone.
Okay. Washington takes Jordan Morgan, tackle out of Arizona. Chargers go with Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington. All right. Titans at 38. Take Roger Rosengarten, tackle out of Washington. This is where I feel like either Powers Johnson or Frazier go.
Yeah.
39 to the Panthers. Let's see what happens here. 39, Peyton Wilson, linebacker at NC State. A little bit of a surprise. There goes Jackson Powers Johnson, okay. 40th. Wow.
All right.
To the Commanders.
So, hey, and listen, you know, there are medical concerns about Jackson Powers Johnson. I'm not saying that I think he's going to fall to 40 or that's a highly realistic scenario, but anytime there are medical concerns about, Corey Trice Jr., dude had like a third round grade on him coming out of college and fell all the way to the seventh round because of medical concerns. Now, those concerns were pretty much realized whenever he can't even get out of training camp without having a serious knee injury.
Yeah.
But still, like, medical concerns can be a real dagger to certain players' draft stocks.
Yeah.
So let's try to trade with the Packers and see, again, if we can possibly throw 153 in there and see what happens.
153 is a 45% chance to get accepted.
Offer it. The worst they can say is no.
All right. We'll see what happens. They said no.
All right. That's fine.
So what if can we go 98 and then we get 126 back? That would be accepted.
That would give us 2/4.
Yes.
Or no, wait. 153. I can't remember if that's the fourth or the fifth round. Either way, we get another pick kind of in there. Yeah, offer that one, see if that one works.
Okay. Let's see what happens. They declined that one too. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we got three tries left with Green Bay here. To try to get this is us trying to trade up to get Zach Frazier.
Pretty much.
What if we took 126 out? Okay. We throw 153, no. If we throw 98, absolutely.
Right.
What if? Okay. So we could maybe get a round four here for next year. We'll throw in a round seven to sweeten the pot.
No.
86% chance.
Don't throw in any sweeteners. We don't need to.
All right. Let's see.
All right. Okay.
All right. We got it.
Okay.
We got it.
Yeah.
So
take Zach Frazier. That's a slam dunk.
Okay. We just moved up 10 spots to get Zach Frazier. And
I mean, we did have to give up 98 to get that.
That pick was free anyway, though.
but still, like, if you can possibly have four picks in the first three rounds, that's what you want to do, because again, and it has been brought up, receiver is a big gigantic need. They need to take a receiver, and I would have loved to be able to keep that second pick in the third round. To either try to move up in the third, or to get anything you could possibly do to get an impact receiver, pretty much.
Green Bay just took Braden Fisk at 51 with that pick they traded back. For those that missed it, in the first round, we struck a trade with Jacksonville to move up three spots to take J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama.
Rick said this, 100% you traded Kenny for Fields and Frazier, winner.
I mean, think of it that way. Yeah, Roman Wilson just went 57th, by the way.
Yeah.
A guy that we know the Steelers are pretty high on. So we have one more pick to make here, obviously in the third round. But what we did was we gave up some of that capital to get two players that immediate plug and play on the offensive line. J.C. Latham's your day one right tackle, and Zach Frazier's your day one center. So right now, if the draft falls this way, we had to give up a little bit of capital. But at the same time, we grab two players that we think, and you have to think the Steelers think that they're pretty high on in some respects. So
I do know that there's at least one coach, if not more, that likes Zach Frazier. Now, does not mean that they're going to trade up in the second round to go get him.
Yeah.
But now some receivers are starting to really fall. Malachi Corley's gone.
Yep. McMillan, Burton. There goes Spencer Rattler, quarterback out of South Carolina.
I did tackle
out of Notre Dame.
I did a mock draft not that long ago where the 84th pick, Johnny Wilson, was still there. I'm like, I'm not even thinking about it.
It's a good pick. That would be a good pick. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even
thinking. Speaking of which, he just went at 82.
Yeah.
All right. Here we are at pick 84, third pick.
Who's the top receiver on the board? Steelers. The
top wide receiver on the board per PFF. That's offensive tackle. Come on, please let me click it. Can I click it?
Apparently not.
Doesn't want me to filter wide receivers today. Hello.
All right, just take the filter off and then just scroll down.
Yeah, I'll just scroll down. Let's just do that. PFF giving us trouble per usual. Top wide receiver available is Malik Washington out of Virginia. Mm. Still some good options left though, of course.
Yeah.
At other positions of need. That's it, and then it's Jamari Thrash. There's a pretty big gap in between these top wide receivers. Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. Of course, the Steelers could look at cornerback help here. Here's Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon.
Yeah.
Renardo Green out of Florida State. Let's see who else as we scroll down a little further. But point is, there are still other needs to address here. We did take care of two major ones here in the first two rounds, though. So this is the point where I would think the Steelers would prioritize wide receiver. Now, if we were sitting here, of course, earlier and actually, I don't know, paying attention a little bit, you know,
see who's interested in who's interested in this for trading to this spot.
Okay, let's see.
The 49ers out.
49ers are
94.
At 94. So let's try something here. 94 for 84. This trade is lopsided. Your team owner veto it. That's funny.
Well, yeah, because you're trading back without getting anything.
And then 124 right there, their other pick.
Do that. Okay. Trade back 10 spots.
All right, why not? You know, we're having fun with it. It's
again, second and third round, especially when you don't know what's happened in the first round already, is a crapshoot.
Yeah. The really 49ers take running back Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Another running back just went. Ray Davis out of Kentucky. So we moved back a little bit, gained another pick out of it. Again, this is more or less just exercise for those that are either just tuning in or, you know, are like, whoa, they wouldn't do that. Like, at some point, it becomes exercise for us. So
yeah,
it doesn't hurt
sure.
to do it. There goes Kyrie Jackson at 90. That's a player I liked at corner for the third round. All right.
Now take Malik Washington.
This would be a good
spot. That's what I was hoping for.
ADP 96.2, we're at 94, and here's a wide receiver, Malik Washington out of Virginia, for those who don't know much or really anything about him. Some really good numbers last year. Right here, you can see that. 111 catches on 138 targets, 1384 mm-hmm. yards, 9 touchdowns last year. Really good wide receiver for a really bad Virginia team. So, yeah. And he's a really good player in the slot, too. This is... among wide receivers with 50 plus targets.
How many targets did he have last year?
He had a lot. He had 138 targets last year.
3 drops on the 138 targets. Thank you. That's not like, dude, this is a slam dunk.
Gladly take that.
That's an easy pick.
Good wide receiver help there. Pick. That's going to.
And we picked up another fourth.
Yep.
In doing so. So, yep. Yeah.
So let's let the rest of this. 3-round mock draft play out. Good timing on this we made today. So we traded up, we traded back, gained some more capital, gave up some capital. But at the end of the day, as you'll see here in a moment, I think we picked up 3 quality players that are ready to help the Steelers right
this,
now.
No, this is my favorite mock draft of the 3 that we've done for sure.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. As soon as PFF gives us a grade on it, we'll saw it down. I don't care
about their grades.
Look
even
that.
Even in their draft, I don't care about their grades.
No, I know that, but okay. So this is what we did for those that missed it earlier. We looked at the board as it came down to about the 15 to 17 range, and we saw that Talis Fuaga and J.C. Latham, the two coveted right tackles in this draft, were still available. We let the Colts pick at 15, and they took Fuaga, which is kind of a surprise in that retrospect. So Fuaga's off the board. 16 went Jared Verse. We were going to make a trade at 16, but I screwed up on it. Luckily, it didn't bite us. So 17 came around, and we saw Latham was still on the board. Of course, the Rams and the Bengals ahead of the Steelers. We felt apropos, so we traded that 17th or that 20th pick and then the round 4 pick at 119 to Jacksonville to get up to 17, and then we recouped 153 in the process in order to get J.C. Latham. Then in the second round, both Jaxon Powers-Johnson and Zach Frazier made it to the second round. Mm-hmm. So we said, all right, center's clearly a need, wide receiver's a need, cornerback is a need. What can the Steelers do here? And if Powers-Johnson and Frazier last up until a certain point in the second round, where would be a potential good spot to move up to get one of them? We saw an opportunity originally at 51 to jump up to 41 to go get Zach Frazier. Now, it took us the 98th pick in the third round, the one from the Eagles in the Kenny Pickett trade, to do it, and then we recoup the fourth rounder for 2025 mm-hmm. in the process. But at the end of the day, we moved up 10 spots, and we selected the Steelers starting center in Zach Frazier. Then we sat there in the third round at 84 and said, well, some of these players on the board might be a little too early to take them. And we looked at who was offering up for that selection.
There was
and there was one team. It was the 49ers wanted to move up to 84. So we moved back 10 spots and recoup the 124th pick. So really, if you want to put it, if you want to skew it this way, we gave up a fourth rounder to get Latham in the first round, but we got a fourth rounder back and essentially moved back 5 spots here
in the fourth round. Yeah.
In the fourth round in order to get Malik Washington. And then, yeah, that was a guy we were targeting anyway, at a position we were targeting anyway. Mm-hmm. So it kind of washes out in a way to where we gave up that 98th pick and we move back five spots in the fourth round to get two players that we really wanted. So
in the first two rounds, that improved the offensive line immensely.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about getting a one of the best right tackle prospects in the entire class, and then getting at the absolute worst, the third best center in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say it, just because it worked out for us here in a mock draft simulator, that doesn't mean that, hey, this right. is what's going to happen. Rounds two and three are a crapshoot, especially again, remember what Mike Tomlin said, whenever the first round is done, everybody does kind of a reset.
Yeah.
Because everybody plays out all of these scenarios. They're probably writing up. It wouldn't surprise me if, like, in whatever computer programs they have, if they have literally thousands upon thousands of different scenarios that can play out Thursday night.
Yep.
Just like, because there are so many different variables and so many different ways that picks or teams are affected by who's taken in front of them. And we don't know what's going to happen. And it literally is a reset based off of what happens on Thursday night, what happens in the first round.
Yeah.
So we're going off of, hey, this is all being done in one fell swoop. It's like, it doesn't work like that. Teams rethink their strategies. They rethink a lot of stuff after the first round. And the same thing happens when Friday night's done, when rounds two and three are done. There's another reset done before they go into rounds four through seven on Saturday.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think to me, if the Steelers were to walk away with this, I'd be happy with this.
Right. Now, I don't think they're going to trade out of or into all three picks from probably the first three rounds. No,
probably not. But like, the further and further deep you go into, I think that's why a lot of mock draft experts don't like doing anything past the first round, but really don't like doing anything past the second round, just because it does become more and more, the further and further you get into a draft, the more of a crapshoot it really is.
Yeah.
Because at that point you're relying on very arbitrary cookie cutter stuff.
This was us being really aggressive in this spectrum, going to get a tackle that we prioritized, going to get the center that was prioritized, and then looking at the wide receiver board when we were there at 84 and saying, well, I don't think we need to reach, and I'm not going to say Malik Washington's a reach at 84, but the opportunity was there to move back and gain another pick, as you see, at 124 in the fourth round. Again, what this whole thing nets to is, yeah, we gave up this fifth round pick. We gave up this third round pick. But in the process, we acquired this 2025 round four, and we moved back five spots in round four to get two players that we really wanted. And then a third that was kind of sitting there, and we figured, well, we could get a little bit more back. And that's what we did. So I'm happy with this mock draft as well. Three clear needs were addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we didn't address cornerback here as we maybe could have. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, they have Dante Jackson. Yes, they probably will draft another corner some point here.
There's still free agency to address cornerback too, especially when it comes to something like slot corner. But yeah, there's the fourth round that we didn't even do. And we've got, you know, the 124th pick in the draft. You know, who knows what could be there. You know, what if the kid from Florida State falls to 124? I mean, yeah. Travis, get it out of your head, man. Ayuk's not happening. It's unless there is a massive pivot from both teams and they are putting up the thickest, most gigantic smokescreen in football history, that trade's not happening. That's not just surface stuff. That's also stuff that's been said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like this mock draft.
Sarah says Steelers need to snag one of those Texas wideouts, Worthy or Mitchell. Like,
Mitchell comes with some potential baggage.
It doesn't seem like they're going to trade back. The more I heard Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin talk on Monday, and this is this mock draft, the reason why we did this today, number one, this is the final show I'll be able to do before Thursday, because tomorrow and Thursday I will be covering the Pirates. So I won't be here to do a mock draft with Chris, with you all, between the next 2 days before the actual draft happens. Number two, I think it was an appropriate thing to do given Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin's comments from yesterday and kind of applying their philosophies and applying what they said, a few things that really stood out, right? The need for wide receiver, the fact that they sent Isaac Williams and Pat Meyer all over the nation for a tackle. And then number three, the reporting that Chris has already put out that they're prioritizing tackle. And then you combine that with what Omar Khan said about the board that they made, top 20. They made a top 20 board. That's a signal that they're not going to trade back, or at least they're not thinking they're going to trade back. Stephen A. says, when are they calling up schemes? Don't hold your breath. Just don't hold your breath, okay? You can't trust anything.
That's how much hype there is about Paul Skeens. We're literally doing a Steelers mock draft 2 days before the draft. When are they calling up Skeens? That's funny.
Mike,
that's really funny.
Mike, tell that to Jose, who has to travel to the Bay Area for us. I believe it's seven games. It's six or seven games pretty soon, starting this weekend. So tell that to Jose. But I will be filling in for Jose on the Pirates beat Wednesday and Thursday. Pirates better win since you're gonna miss the show. I am 1-1 this year, I want to say. So there you go. All right, here's our final mock draft. I hope you all enjoyed it.
I still remember 2022. The games that I covered, they were 500. I think they were like a 94 win team, like on a pace to be a 94 win team with the games I covered. Mm-hmm. There were some other people on staff that were a little jealous.
there was a revolt to overthrow. We love our guy Alex, but there was a revolt.
really quick. Whenever I mentioned, I just dropped it here in the chat. I mentioned AD Mitchell's baggage. It's in that story right there. That's on DKPittsburghSports.com right now. Mm-hmm. You can go into our Steelers feed. It's pinned in there. So I would go read it now. Tread carefully. That thing's 4,000 words. So,
and in case, since we're doing plugs here, I published the transcript, the full transcript from Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan from yesterday. It's on DKPittsburghSports.com right now. So if you want to hear and read about what they had to say entering this draft, that's all right there in question and answer format. Every word, every syllable spoken is typed out. I wrote a story about the offensive line, and of course, Omar Khan's comments about the offensive line and Isaac Williams and sending them around and looking at those players. And DK has a column up about wide receivers and the Steelers' prioritization of them. So make sure you give those a read before draft time comes around.
There's also Chris another call coming from me, too.
Yes.
It'll probably be up tomorrow.
There you go. Little teaser for you. I will be with the Pittsburgh Pirates on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon before I'm back with the Steelers Thursday afternoon, evening, into the evening. So there you go. And people talking about T'Vondre Sweat, obviously with the legal issue with him dropping. Could he be attractive here at 94? Maybe, but... or at 84 or at 98, maybe, but at the same time, I think there are also larger needs to address if you're the Steelers. So, all right, that does it for today. That was fun. I had fun. Yeah, I hope you all had fun as well. Chris will have you tomorrow and Thursday, and I will talk to you all hopefully Friday. We'll see exactly what happens. Friday, of course, is an evening draft before we get to the weekend. So he's Chris Halleck, and I'm Corey Crissett. This has been the Southside Beat and our mock draft 3.0. That was fun. We hope you all enjoyed it, and we will talk to you soon. Cheers, everybody. Have a good one.